The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American gives a fuck about.
Yes.
I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
I'm Mike Nguyen.
And today we're coming at you live from Canal Street Radio, inside the Canal Street Market as part of the Family FM Network.
Whoa, what does that mean? I don't know. But basically, we're kind of vibing with this listening party network.
Yes, it's like a podcast studio / record company network media conglomerate.
Basically, we're trying to become cooler Asians.
Yes. And we've done that by recording here in the studio that is right next to a Asian stationery shop where there's a cutout of a K-pop man right there. Look at that. You see
Oh,
that?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Looks great.
Hello.
We got to thank our fans.
Yeah. We'll take some pictures and we'll post them on our gram later.
It's really nice. You guys be very proud of us, I think.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, though, because everybody, like, we're recording inside this booth that has like a glass window, so people keep stopping and looking at us like they've never seen like two Asian guys talking before.
Into a microphone.
Yeah, like, what?
Is that allowed?
What is that? What is that? I don't like this.
And before we start the show, we just want to give a quick shout out to our Patreon supporters this week.
Woo woo.
We released that episode on Wednesday, so we don't have that many this time, but shout out to Dennis Jing. He was already a subscriber, but he upped his donation to $7.90. What is he telling us?
That is his
SAT verbal.
His math. Yeah.
That's Bobby's math.
Math score.
But
not essay.
Not essay.
Fuck
for sure.
Essay.
That's Asian's weakness. Yo, if you want to ruin an Asian dude's day, just hand him a SAT writing portion packet.
And just
like,
support your statement.
So yeah, shout out to Dennis Jing for upping that donation amount. Thank you so much. And then we have a new supporter, and he's not Asian. He messaged me on Instagram. He's actually black.
What?
His name is Andre Oliver.
Andre, man, that's a black ass name.
That's a black ass name, and he's fucking cool, man. He's I think he's into fashion or something.
What?
He like travels doing fashion shit.
We had
I'm not
a couple
really sure.
of black ladies come out who are fans of us.
Yes,
for
to
the
our
show.
Hack City show.
That was awesome.
That's our goal, man.
So, you know, shouts out to people of color for following us, and we must be saying something. I think Emma said she came to our show.
Yes.
And I think she said we were right that she's British.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Oh, we're so good at this game.
Oh, what was that girl, that lady who we were, she had a funny name, but
Birkinshaw?
Birkinshaw.
Yeah.
She commented on our SoundCloud. I couldn't see the whole comment.
Okay.
But she said that, I think she said that she's actually Japanese.
What?
Or something like that. Like,
half she married a white dude.
Yeah, so I couldn't see the whole comment. I couldn't like open it all up, but you know, well, we'll get them all next time.
Damn. Well, unfortunately, we're not going to play the guess your last name with Andre because of slavery. It's not very fun.
Yeah, that's not as awesome.
But anyways, Andre, thank you so much for the support.
Yeah.
And again, listeners, if you don't know what we're doing right now, we have a Patreon page where you can subscribe to our podcast and support all the cool things we're doing. Like, for example, we're in this cool studio right now, and this is all possible
people
because
taking pictures of us.
Yes, because this is all possible because of supporters like you guys. So please check us out and subscribe to us. You know, give us whatever amount you feel is appropriate.
Yeah. And, usually related to your SAT score.
Yes. What's going on, man?
Oh man, dude, just doing my thing. I got tattooed.
That's right.
Recently.
That's right.
Yeah, dude.
How was that?
It was cool. It was you don't have any tattoos, right?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
I don't know.
Look at my face.
getting tattooed, I always say getting tattooed is sort of the whole thing is really an exercise in just relaxing and like letting things go.
Okay,
because there's going to be a lot of things that you don't really have control over, and you're just going to have to like really trust the other guy, the guy that you go to.
Oh, I see.
Your
artist. It's a metaphor for how life is not fair.
Yes, it's not even fair, but it's just like life. There's a lot of stuff you're not going to control, and you're just going to have to deal with it. And that's like the whole thing. Everybody always says like, oh, I can't get a tattoo because I can never decide on any one thing. I'm always going to change
my mind.
And really the whole thing about tattooing is, your preferences are stupid and you should just go with it, bro.
Dude, I feel like this is the speech you rehearsed to say to your mom when you were arguing about getting a tattoo.
This is it. Oh, first of all, I would never say this to my mom. Are you kidding me?
Well, it's very sound and it kind of sounds philosophical and like you thought about it. It's very academic the way you presented it to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but like this is a very kind of Brooklyn Western mentality, I feel.
Right.
Because
other,
I think Asian moms would just be like, no, just try harder or something.
Try harder at not getting a tattoo.
Just try harder at not getting a tattoo. So for example, like I got this tattoo and it's this panther and is like a snake around it. Mm. You know, it's an American style.
Right.
And when I was talking to the tattoo guy, I had pointed, so I looked on his Instagram, I had pointed to this one panther and it's like this one panther, or maybe it's a cheetah, but it's like yellow and like spotted. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, then we were talking and then I pointed out this other one that was black. Like a black panther, and I was like we were talking some more, and he was like, okay, well, you know, which one of these you want? And there was kind of a miscommunication because originally I had wanted this yellowish panther.
Okay.
And he puts down the outline on my leg, which is just like an ink outline.
Yep.
And then he starts tattooing it, and then I kind of like lie down and I just try not to think about it, because that's what you do when you get tattooed. You just try not it hurts, so you just try not to think about it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you could do. You could try to read, but you just can't do anything. You're just gonna lie there.
Okay.
And then I sat up and realized he put the black panther on me.
Oh shit!
So
you didn't even know because you weren't looking at it.
I wasn't looking at it. And this is like, I was like, well, I can either panic, or I could just be like, well, let's see what happens. And he knew that I did want a lot of color on the snake.
And yet he disobeyed your orders.
No. Because, see, the thing is that he knew that I want a lot of color on the snake. And if you want a lot of color on the snake, you can't have a lot of color on the panther. And he ended up putting all these other like colors and other little spots on the panther, like on his paws and stuff of that. And honestly, it looks dope as fuck.
Okay,
it's awesome.
Okay.
But the whole moral of the story is just got to relax, bro. Just got to relax, because you can either panic or you can like, okay, well, I'm going to try to work through it. And that's really, like, that's what it is to be creative. Because you think it's going to be one way, and then you're going through it, and all of a sudden you have a black panther on your leg. You didn't want the black panther.
Oh, my God.
And you're just going to have to roll with it. Yeah, everything, the whole process is just like, you know, whatever your idea is, how it's going to be placed on your body, what it's going to look like, all those things, like, it's just like getting married. it's different than you think.
You're saying every time you get tattooed, you think about your wedding?
Yeah, I'm just like, man, I really shouldn't have done this. But, well, I already paid for everything and the deposit's done. So let's go through it, baby.
Yo, let me ask you this, man. Asians with tattoos. Okay.
Oh, I want to talk to you about Asians with tattoos.
Okay, because that's a whole category. You know how I like to categorize.
Yes, like
right?
A Fung brother.
Like a snoozy Asian, a creative Asian, a cool Asian.
Yes, we're
a show
just,
off your SATs Asian.
Oh,
right?
That's all of us.
Right? So Asians with tattoos. This is a particular breed of Asians that I've always been fascinated with. And the first one I met was when I first, I mean, I didn't, there weren't any in Ohio.
Ohio.
Maybe there were, but they had just like one, like a tattoo of a cross.
Yeah.
And they'd say, this is for Jesus. Which I don't know, man. It's like, dude, come on.
Okay, I know this dude.
You know what
He's
mean?
Got
it's
the
like,
guitar.
It's a whole like Christian rock vibe thing. And it's
oh
like,
my God.
Fuck off. I'm going to jerk off on your face. I don't know why I said that. But then when I moved to New York, you know, New York, like, this is where the creative Asians live, right? So I met this, like, Filipino dude covered in, like, cool traditional Filipino tattoos. And it was part of who he is. It's how he expressed himself. And then I saw that there was, like, this whole different way to kind of be an Asian person with a tattoo. You know, you don't have to be in a Yakuza. You don't have to support Jesus. You could just be like, this is, you know.
It's one of those two. It's either I am a mobster or I'm just really
this
big
into
God.
This is how I understand the world, Mike. You got to be in a bucket or I don't understand you.
Okay.
So I'm very close-minded.
Okay,
so,
well, let me keep adding more buckets because coming from LA, there's like different buckets Asian guys with tattoos.
Okay.
Because there are, and they fall sharply along other kinds of social lines.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of Asian guys in California. I don't want to say gang related, but they're affiliated with, like, for example, my cousin, he had this big black panther on his arm for a long time.
Okay.
And it was just like it's not like the tattoo is bad, but when you just got one big black tattoo like that, it's just like, oh, clearly like one of your boys who just got out of jail did this for you or something like that. You know?
Oh,
it was a very like kind of rough thing. And then as he got older, he got a little bit more money and he got a little more sense.
Yeah.
And he covered it up with a sleeve, which is like a Japanese style art sleeve. So now it looks awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah, and
but
funny
a panther,
enough,
not part of the Japanese animal kingdom.
Exactly.
But.
So, well, so he covered it up completely with like, you know, whatever, like flowers and like, I don't know, a demon's face or something like that. And anyways, to my point, I feel like Asian dudes, we either got like the traditional Japanese sleeve thing going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I have to say, like, you know, I'm not sure if I could do that because I don't like Japanese people, as you know.
Yep.
And it's kind of like I always wanted to get a person. Like, so I think I always envy white people because white people can get like white people on their body. I can't get an Asian person on my body because it would look like, because then I'm just like getting like a Asian caricature on my body.
Oh, I see.
You know
what I'm saying?
Like, I would have to get a geisha on my arm. Right. Like, that doesn't make any goddamn sense. You know?
Well, you could get, like, I don't know, Ronnie Chang or somebody on there.
Ronnie Chang. That guy better book me first before I get a fucking.
So this is interesting. You bring up this interesting point about, like, quantity of tattoos.
Yeah.
You see people, you perceive them as they are, what they have on, what kind of clothes they have on,
sure.
Right? So, like, when you see an Asian guy with, like, a shit ton of tattoos, what do you sort of assume about him or her? And then if you see like an Asian person with like one tattoo, one visible tattoo, what do you sort of assume about him or her?
Ooh,
because
man.
That one tattoo, to me, that's like that. To me, I've seen that. And that's like the girl who works at KPMG.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
And you know she's making 120 a year.
And she's she wanted to be a little bad.
Exactly.
She wanted to be a little
bad. She went on spring break with too many white girls 1 year.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
then
she got a little, like, I don't know, a parrot on her left shin.
Yes.
And she can cover it up. She can still go to job interviews and go to these meetings and kill it. But, you know, if you go to the beach with her, during the summer when she's wearing shorts, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Ivy Lee, what the fuck?
You know, I have to, so a couple of thoughts. I think that you should either have like 10 or more tattoos or zero. Because if you have one, I mean, I guess it could be cool. Like, I remember my sister's piano teacher. This is like a, you know, a nice Asian lady.
Yep.
And she was like a piano teacher. She was a piano teacher. And I remember, you know, very sweet lady.
Yeah.
And I remember she had, she was like, must have been like in her late 40s, early 50s. And she had a tattoo on her, and she's a, like, I don't know when she must have gotten this tattoo.
Right.
Because, you know, she didn't grow up in like 2008.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So
yeah.
she had a tattoo on her leg of a rose. And I have to admit, that shit was hot as fuck. I was like, oh shit, Mrs. Huang? Where you been? Where you been, Mrs. Huang?
I'm looking forward to that because...
Yeah, I'm going
to
play those scales now.
you get everything right.
Yeah. I have to admit, that was hot as hell.
Just show me more of that skin.
Oh my gosh.
This is a very interesting point because now more Asian girls are getting tattoos, right?
Yeah.
So now we can finally look forward to real Asian MILFs 20 years from now.
Oh my God.
You know, you're welcome, America, because you know 20 years from now there's going to be so many fucking Asian hot MILFs.
You know what's happening though is that we went through a little phase and I think people kind of stopped doing this because of the how negative it was, but like people used to get like a lot of lower back tattoos. I know a lot of Asian girls got lower back tattoos,
yep.
And now all those girls are pharmacists, and you know what I'm saying? And they're all having kids and shit, and they're gonna have to, like, how the fuck am I gonna explain this lower back tattoo to little Samantha later on when I grow up? You know, it's like, oh well, mommy wasn't always a pharmacist,
sometimes
she was a little crazy.
Yeah. Damn. All right, well, listeners out there, you know, if you're thinking about getting a tattoo, you know, 10 or above is our recommendation.
Or become a piano teacher.
Yeah.
And just
tease your students.
Just tease.
Ooh,
just
tease a little. Mrs. Tease a little way way.
Dirty.
Tease
dirty
a little.
Girl.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
And we are back with more race news.
Race news.
That's race news. This is a segment where we talk about things that are happening in the news that has to do with race, and we're going to give it our point of view because we are experts in ethnicities.
Yes, we are.
This week we have a very interesting article. It's not very political, which I like, but it is, in fact, a little sexual, if you want to go there. A little sexy,
yeah.
A little sexual, a little R&B. If you will.
A little boner jams.
This is a very interesting article that my girlfriend sent me. I don't know why she sent this to me. I don't know why she was reading this in the first place. Very concerning. I think I might leave right now and ask her about it. The headline of this specific news article that I read says, how orgasm faces differ between people from Eastern and Western cultures.
Those O faces.
Those O faces. And basically, some scientists in London, or sorry, not London, in the UK, Glasgow, I should say, they interviewed 60 people.
Yeah, so they had to determine, is this person having an orgasm or is this person in a lot of pain? The study found, like, everybody knows when somebody's hurting.
Right.
But then East Asian people thought that orgasms look more like you're smiling. And white people say that, oh, orgasms look more like you're, like, making an O face. The whole study was supposed to be like, can you tell? I think that a regional thesis was that, like, a look of pain and a look of pleasure are really similar.
I think they were trying to figure out,
is that true or not?
And then they found out
this other race thing, you know? So they were trying to figure out this one thing, and then they found out that Asian people are weird. You know? That was, like, really, like, oh, God, lads. What we're going to do here today is figure out where the pain is. I don't know what kind. I can't do a Scottish accent. But you get the idea.
Yes, that's and, very funny.
You guys got to look this up because
the heat maps are hilarious.
The heat maps are hilarious.
Yes.
I mean, I'm looking at them and I... Okay, hold on here. Mm-hmm. This is a good Asian, not Asian thing.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at the Western and the Eastern and the different O faces. And I would say that for me, I think that the Western face looks more... I mean... The Western, what a Western person would consider an orgasm, I think as an orgasm, like more kind of like, whoa, like surprise.
Right.
You know, because the Eastern one, the orgasm is supposed to look like they're smiling, which, I don't know, looks creepy to me. How about you?
I agree with you, but only because it's because I grew up here and I watch porn and that's the way that
yes.
a lot of white people on porn and that's the way they orgasm. And I was 8 when I moved here, so like it's not like I was watching a lot of orgasm videos when I was 8 in Japan. You know, had I been exposed to that kind of footage, I would have been like, oh, what's this? What are these white people doing with their mouths open? They should be smiling, you know?
Mm.
So I think I'm a little biased.
I mean, to be honest with you, in like porno movies, they're not looking at the face when people are, you know what I'm saying?
They're not looking at the, who's not looking
like
at
you
the
look
face?
At, you think of a porno, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then like, what is like the thing at the end? You know, they always got the facial or something.
Yeah.
You don't see the guy's face when he's jizzing.
Right. You see the girl's.
You can see the girl's face and she's not
jizzing.
She's not having she's an orgasm. It. She's getting jizzed on.
Right.
This segment is going to be unusable.
Oh my God.
But right? I mean, I'm just thinking about it, right? So
that's
you're not
true.
Really getting any good data from
any
that.
Good data.
You know, so you're watching the video, you're like, this isn't good data at all. You know?
Right, so people are misinformed. They're making decisions based on a very small sample size.
Yes, so I mean, you know, who really knows?
I really haven't seen... Wait, but when you see Asian girls, when Asian American girls in American porn, when they orgasm with their mouth open.
Yeah, but that's because
they're
Asian. They're Asian American.
But in this study, they got just Asian people.
Yes, just regular
Asian Asian people.
Yes.
Okay.
So
that's the key difference here. Western participants expected widened eyes and gaping mouths for orgasms, while East Asian participants' ideas culminated in a slight, tight-lipped smile.
These cultural differences correspond to current theories of ideal effect that propose that Westerners value high arousal positive states such as excitement and enthusiasm, which are often associated with wide-open eye and mouth movements, whereas East Asians' gong sound tend to value low arousal positive states, which are often associated with closed mouth smiles. So... I mean, listen, I don't know if this is absolutely true or not,
right.
But I'm just trying to imagine like everybody's just coming in East Asia and just kind of lightly smiling.
There's no way this is true.
It's like, also, that was very nice.
I mean, I don't know. There are other cultural differences like that where I notice, I even do this sometimes, where Western people are very expressive, right? So if something happens, they go, whoa!
Yeah, that's true. That's
Whereas
true.
Whereas Japanese people go, oh. But I'm not, my mouth is still open, just like to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you're right. I do understand, I think, the Western idea of like being loud and stuff like that. So yeah. For example, when we went to, we went to Japan.
Yeah.
And we would
you guys orgasms.
Yeah, we had so many. We would just watch people orgasm all the time. And I was like, that's adorable, right? Look at that Hello Kitty. She just has a tiny smile on her face. So we would like, for example, we would just like stand in an elevator. Let's just say we're in an elevator other Asian people, like Japanese people or in Korea.
Yeah.
And nobody would talk.
Yep.
Totally normal, right?
Right.
That's, and you and I, we get that.
Yeah.
But we would go into an elevator and be full of like white tourists and they would be chatting the whole time.
And
I realized that like Western people really aren't comfortable with silence.
Oh.
They're very just like, you know, you always have to be small. There's no such thing as small talk. Like you don't go to Asia and you're just like, what'd you do this weekend, Carl? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, I barbecued, Brandon. You know?
Yes.
Like, whereas like white people like love to fucking talk their goddamn head off about everything.
Shut
the fuck up. You know what
I'm
saying? Like you could just be like, hey, you know, I think it's a sign of respect in some ways.
Because you respect your space.
Just to be like, hey, shut the, you know, just we're just gonna sit here quietly and enjoy this tea.
We can be here in the same room together without.
I don't have to talk your ear off. Just eat this mochi.
This brings this is a very good point. I was watching The Sopranos recently, right? And there's a scene where Carmela makes eye contact with Adriana's mom. Adriana, spoiler alert, she dies, right? So Adriana's mom's very sad, and now she's working at a carnival. Right, so she makes eye contact with Adriana's mom, and she goes, "Ugh, I made eye contact with her. I have to go talk to her."
Yes,
now. Not true. Not true. In Asia, very common for like my mom to, like, be in a supermarket and see somebody that she knows, kind of like on a different aisle, and they just make eye contact and they kind of bow and they smile.
See,
and they go on shopping for their own families.
See, so that's why I have to admit, ever since I came back from Japan, I've been bowing the shit out of everybody. It's a great thing.
It's a great thing.
It's great because all you have to do is like, I see you.
The bowing is it's the same thing when black people do the head nod.
I was just about to do the same thing.
It's just old school.
It's like, hey, what's up? I see you, I see you, my dog. You know, but we don't have to like make a thing of it. You know, you don't have to go up to like to fucking Daryl and start talking his ear off about
shit.
It's like, I see you, my dude. Okay, well, I'm going to do my thing. Hey, I respect that.
Yeah.
That's what bowing is.
Oh, my God.
And you don't have to do this whole thing and then show him your O face and blah, you know, like, you know, I get that. You
my God.
Shouts to Glasgow.
It's British guys.
Fucking Scottish guys breaking the code left and right.
And we're back with another segment. We don't really have a name for this one. I guess this is just...
Where's Fumi and Mike today?
Today.
Yay.
We're in... Geotag.
We're in Canal Street Market, as we said before. And if you guys don't know, Canal Street Market is this very cool indoor kind of like mini shopping area.
Yeah. You know, people got offended when I called it the Chelsea Market of Chinatown.
Really? Why?
I don't know. I think it's a perfect way to describe this place.
It's in New York City, we don't have malls, really.
Right.
Every square foot of space is like cost like $2,000.
Right.
So instead we have these kind of like little mini indoor market spaces, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So Chelsea Market is like the cool one, and it's got a tons of shit, almost too much shit, too many people. There's like a Google like office in there and everything. And so Canal Street Market is kind of like the same thing. It's all Asian American owned businesses on the retail side, and they've got a whole bunch of like
Eateries.
Got like a little little food mm-hmm. court type of thing, but with like, you know, real cool like noodles, and they also have a Luke's Lobster and that sort of stuff.
But what's cool about it is I think the majority of the businesses here are owned and or run by Asian Americans.
Right.
Because that was very important to them, as they're taking up a lot of space in the historical Canal Street, Chinatown. This is the heart of Chinatown, right? A lot of history here. And they kind of took it over with this kind of like, you know, hipster place, and they didn't want it to turn into... They didn't want to kick out the old people, so they wanted to make sure that Asian Americans are kind of doing their thing.
Yeah, so it's kind of like updated, updated Chinatown. Yeah. And I mean, I love Chinatown. I don't live too far from here in Brooklyn, so I have to take the train over here. But yeah, it's, you know, it's in Lower Manhattan, so it's like pretty easy.
I didn't know much about Chinatown growing up. We didn't have one in Ohio.
Yeah.
And I went, my first one I went to was
Chinatown.
I was Chinatown.
Your house
exactly.
was Chinatown, my even though you're Japanese. You're like, have you been to Chinatown? You mean Fumi's house? Yeah, that's sick, dude. You get all sorts of shit there.
So it was interesting. I mean, unfortunately, like, I didn't really hang out around here too much, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like I just came here. I mean, I like the food and stuff, but I didn't really try to, you know, learn more about the history and stuff here or anything like that. So
it's a, I mean, you know, this, I feel this Chinatown is, Chinatown is tricky because yeah. there's always two Chinatowns. If you go right. to a big city, there's always two Chinatowns.
Right,
there's,
right, right.
Chinatown for white people,
right?
And there's Chinatown for Chinese people, all right? And the, right. the Chinatown for Chinese people, there's in New York City is in Flushing.
Oh, Chinatown for Chinese people.
For Chinese people
yes,
is
yes,
in
yes.
Flushing,
yeah.
And also in some, I guess, like kind of like in Brooklyn also.
Yeah.
But that's really where it is, and that's where you can get a lot of like real authentic shit and without yeah. any of the kitschiness. Yeah, I mean, the first time, I mean, and not to say that there isn't something kind of fun about that, but I mean, Canal Street can be a fucking nightmare. But the first time I ever went to Chinatown, this Chinatown here, and I've told you the story. I came down Chinatown. This is the first time I was in New York, and I had some free time, and I went here by myself, and I was like, you know, I want to see what's up with these fake handbags,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right. So I go up to some of these ladies, and you guys don't know, people don't know this, but there are people who are selling handbags like in a like out of a garbage bag.
Right.
That's not legit.
Okay.
I mean, none of it is legit, but that's really not legit.
Right, right,
that's
right,
just
right,
like
right.
some garbage.
Yeah.
But then there are these ladies who have just like a piece of paper.
Yep.
And they're, you know, as you walk by, you know, they're like, you know, Gucci, blah, 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 whatever. And they, and you kind of go up to them and they're kind of feeling you out too. And they got the little piece of paper, which has a whole bunch of different bags on it.
Okay.
And you kind of go, okay, I kind of want this one or I want this one. And then they go, okay, cool. And they go, okay, just wait right here. And they kind of like go around the corner and they come back and they're like, okay, follow me, but not too close.
Whoa.
Yeah. And they're just, and it's like, and you're, and I remember when that happened to me, I was like, oh shit, this is some real shit. Like, I was like, I'm about to like lose my kidney or something. And, you know, she kind of walks down the street and I follow her and then like some cops kind of come around the corner.
Yeah.
And then she kind of like waves me off.
Yeah.
And then the cops pass and
yeah,
then she's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
come with me.
Right, right, right.
And we
right,
go
right.
down this little street and then we go into the store. Which, if you walk by the store, you would never notice it. But it's got this store. It's a little store, and it's got, like, just crap in there.
Okay.
Not
okay.
a lot of stuff.
Okay.
But it's just, like, you know, like, random, like, a Hello Kitty and, like, some sweaters
okay.
or something
okay.
like that. And you go in there, and then she, there's a guy in there, and he pushes this button.
No!
And this hidden
no!
hidden wall opens up.
That's some movie shit.
It's crazy. And I was like, this is awesome. And I was like, this is like some John Wick shit. I mean, you know, yeah. like the door opens up and you go downstairs into
right,
the basement.
Right, right, right.
And in there is like a nice boutique. Like
what?
Like a nice, like not like as nice as, you know, as a real Louis Vuitton,
right.
but they have, you know, it's relatively clean.
Okay.
And
okay.
it's like well lit and looks okay. And they got all the bags out. And they don't have the bags just like all like shittily stuffed, you know. They're
yeah.
they're actually kind of displayed,
right,
like
right,
hanging
right,
on
right,
stuff,
right.
and they're expensive. You know, like a Louis Vuitton bag from them, for like a fake one, it's
yeah.
like $100, $200, $300.
Oh my god, it'd be really funny if like a white person was working there.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if she's
like,
"Oh,
it's Jeff, I'll be helping
hi,
you today.
How's it going? I'm here to help you buy some bootleg shit. Would you like a espresso?" You know, and
damn.
I actually didn't buy anything because I couldn't afford the bootleg shit.
Oh my
I was like,
god,
this is too much. But I ended up leaving, and it was some real shit.
I feel like there's so many secret spots like that in
exactly.
Chinatown that we don't even know about.
No.
And I also fucking love how gangster that Chinatown lady
dude,
was, right?
100%.
People don't even know. People underestimate older Asian women.
Yes.
Dude, some of them have some fucking experience.
Oh,
in,
my God.
In the dark
totally.
World, you know?
Totally,
in the black
man.
Market shit, you know?
Dude, that's what's cool about Chinatown is, like, you walk around, and you just, like, kind of, like, you ever look into one of these random apartments, and
yeah.
you're just, like, who the fuck lives in this thing?
Yeah.
Like, what is behind these doors?
Right, 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 right.
You know
right.
some crazy shit's
I know.
In there. And, like, at least the most I ever got was, like, a bad purse out of it. You
right,
know
right,
saying?
Right, right. Let's play this game. Tell me your top three Chinatowns in the U.S.
Top
three. The one you think are, like, legit.
Oh, shit.
Fun. Yo, Chinatowns differ a lot depending on where you are. Like, the Chicago one, I think they have
I've
one
never
there.
Been there.
It's okay. You know what sucks? Boston.
Oh, I can see that.
Boston Chinatown sucks. The Philly one sucks.
The Philly one, there is, it's real small. Okay, so let's see. The top one, we're not Chinese, mm-hmm. we're Vietnamese.
Yep.
But, you know, we go to Little Saigon.
Sure.
Okay.
You're already disobeying my rules.
Do you mean Asian enclaves or do you mean Chinatowns?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, the best one is Little Saigon.
Yeah.
And in particular, I'll tell you where to go. If you want the epicenter of Little Saigon,
okay,
is
okay.
It's called the Asian Garden Mall.
Where?
Okay. It's in Westminster.
I don't know. Where is that?
It's in California.
Okay.
In Southern California. And so, like, Little Saigon is huge.
Okay.
I mean, it's like three or four cities. Big. It's really big.
What?
There's like
Why?
A half million of us. There's hundreds of thousands. I mean, you go there and like the street signs are in Vietnamese and everything's in Vietnamese.
Right.
And then the epicenter is this shitty mall. It's called Asian Garden Mall.
Okay.
And it hasn't changed, I swear to God, since like it was created in the 80s.
Okay.
And, you know,
Love
there's
that.
Like real, like that's Vietnamese as fuck in there, man.
Yeah.
Like you got all sorts of food. You got a mall fountain that doesn't work. You got...
I don't get that, but I get it.
You know what I'm saying? They got a mall fountain that like nobody is. It's never worked. Occasionally, you'll go there and they'll just randomly have like a Vietnamese pageant. That you go there and there's like a whole floor just of little jewelry stores where you can buy like 24 karat gold ingots. You can buy Vietnamese áo dài for like $20,
okay,
and you can buy. I remember I'd really needed a suit for homecoming.
Yeah,
and I bought a suit for like $90.
Where do you go about the Asian Garden Mall?
Oh hell yeah, dog! Oh my god! And so you know you can get all sorts of and that's like the and then all surrounding that that's you know the Little Saigon.
Yeah.
So I would say that's like the best one, and then I think the second best one is.
That's so interesting because I don't even know what a Little Saigon is.
I'll take you. We'll have a show there.
I know, but they don't have one in New York.
Well, that's
you know what I mean?
There's only like a few places where Vietnamese people
right.
live.
That's what's so crazy about Chinatown is there's one in pretty much every major city. But like Japantown, the first time I heard about that, like I think I was in San Francisco.
There's only two. There's one in LA.
Right.
And there's
just
one in...
because there aren't that... It's not a thing, really.
Have you been to the one in San Francisco?
I went, I guess, not too long ago. I was in... San Francisco for Sketchfest in January, and I walked through, and like it was so sad in there,
you
man.
You think so? Really didn't like it?
Maybe that's
Did
the Japanese American experience. It looks like a mall from.
It's old for sure.
It's old. That's what it is. It's like you know how like you've been to Japan and Korea. Like Asians, like we're
super nice,
technologically advanced when it comes to malls.
Mm.
So when I went in there, I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah.
But maybe that's just the Asian American experience in the Bay. You know, maybe I don't understand it, but. Food is pretty good still. You know, I still ate there, but they had a lot of like cosmetic shops and stuff like that.
You went to the one that's like kind of undergroundish.
Yeah.
Yeah, or whatever.
It was really sad, mall. Man.
It's still dark in there.
Yeah.
You ever been to the one in LA?
No, I don't think so.
I don't even know where it is. I don't even know if it's really even there still.
Yeah, there aren't. That's the thing with Japanese people. There aren't that many of us in this country. Like,
yeah.
There are, but. Relative to other Asian populations, very minuscule.
Yes.
So there aren't that many. We have like little pockets. Like I would say St. Mark's is a little Japan town.
True.
You know, like Sunrise Mart is there. All those restaurants.
Sunrise Mart is there. Decibel is there.
Yeah, exactly. So like East Village, kind of, but it's not officially called Japantown.
Is there
know?
A there's is there like a Japanese like underground world that you've mentioned like
yes.
that's in Midtown?
Yes, 53rd Street.
Oh fuck.
Yes, it's another. It's okay. Think of St. Mark's.
Yeah.
But. Up the restaurant quality by like 10 times
mm-hmm.
and then everybody's a Japanese salaryman and everybody has like way more money and they have like instead of Decibel they have like jazz clubs.
Nice.
Why
do you guys love jazz so much?
I just like ambience. I don't know. We love jazz but they have those I don't know. I heard that they got rid of them because the economy was doing bad but they had those like hostess bars.
Yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
A bunch of them like 10 of them.
Wow.
On that block, just that one block. And if you walk there, if you walk around on like a Wednesday night, you see a lot of like, you can tell they're Japanese because their suit and they always wear little lanyards. They always have their like work badges. That's like a thing that Japanese people do in Japan.
So
you probably
saw
that on the train.
Do they work? Are those people salarymen who are visiting or work at
they're
the restaurant?
Expats. No, they don't work there.
Oh.
They work at a bank nearby.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. A lot of banks are up there too, you know? So after work, they kind of get drunk on this little block.
You couldn't like hook it up still. You couldn't get us in there.
I could probably get you in there. I mean, they're not gonna know who I am, but if I speak Japanese, you know, it's the whole thing happened in Japan.
Yes.
They don't let foreigners in either.
I guess what I'm saying too is, so there's this whole thing, and we have to have a whole episode about it. It's called booking.
Booking.
It's Korean clubbing.
Okay.
Okay. This is gonna be some real shit.
Okay.
Buckle
what the
up.
Fuck? Oh, I'm so excited.
Buckle up.
I love like
booking is Korean clubbing.
Okay.
And the model is. There's a nightclub, and if you and I wanted to go clubbing, mm-hmm. right, we would have to get you, me, and like 10 of our boys.
Okay.
Because you have to get a table.
You have to.
As
this is in Korea?
No, this is in, I don't know if it's in Korea, but it's in LA, K-Town.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
And you have to have a table.
Right.
And it's a lot of money. It's like $1,000, $2,000 or something. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have to split it.
Okay.
But then it comes with a bottle of Crown.
Oh, that's nice.
And it has some fruit. Comes with some fruit.
They love... The fruit
right.
is a thing I learned about when I first moved to New York. Koreans love eating fruit at clubs.
Yes.
I don't know why. It's good.
Yeah.
But I don't
if there's ever like a Korean rap video, instead of pouring out Moet, they're just going to be like watermelon.
It's just so weird because people are grinding and eating pineapple at the same time. Yeah. It's very funny.
So anyway, so you and I we'd have to get a table and you sit down
yeah.
at the table.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to know one of the hosts at the club.
Okay.
And he'll hook you up with the table.
What
and
do you mean
like,
hosts? What does that mean?
So you're going to understand why there's a host. So we're sitting at this table.
Yeah.
Girls can go in for free.
Okay. Makes sense.
And they can either buy drinks from the bar.
Yeah.
Or there's a implicit understanding that a host can take a girl from the dance floor and bring her over to your table. And she can,
but she's a civilian. She doesn't.
She's a civilian. There. She's a civilian. Now, as a woman, you don't have to talk to us.
Yeah.
You don't have to drink with us. You can sit down for like a minute and leave. But you got in for free, and
Whoa!
You can. And usually we have to serve you our alcohol.
Okay.
You know, so we're giving you the drink and we're talking to you for a little bit. And you don't, again, you're a civilian. So, I mean, this is not like a arrangement as
right,
far as
right,
like
right, right.
now you we own you or something.
Yeah.
You can get up and leave.
Yeah.
But why are you going clubbing? You know, so like.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the thing. And a lot of my friends, a lot of my white friends be like, that is so creepy. And I'm like, is that really any different from how clubbing is? Where
right.
I go to a club, I buy a drink and I give it to a girl. And then the girl doesn't have to take the drink
from
me. But if she takes it, she kind of has to talk to me for like a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and hey, then she can leave and she has my drink now.
Yeah, this is more like a better facilitated. I like this.
Yeah, so, and like some clubs, like your table has a little TV and you can have a little joystick with the camera and you can like go, okay, I want this girl.
No!
Yeah! Booking!
Dude, that's, you know, this whole thing, it was like, okay, it's a little out there, but I can still understand it. And then when you said that, I'm like, okay, now it's all Asian. now you spat the Asian on me, and I don't get it.
Now,
and it's crazy.
Yeah, that's a pretty extensive one. So I've been booking once, and it was pretty sweet.
The joystick, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I didn't have the joystick one, but anyway, so the whole thing I've been talking about is, I couldn't get into that club just by like calling them up or something.
Okay.
Not only do I have to know a Korean guy, that Korean guy has to know one of the hosts.
Okay.
And that host is there to facilitate, obviously, the girls coming over to your table.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you're also tipping him and it's like a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, the next month you can call them up again and be like, hey, is there a table that we can hook up? You know, we can get, something on Saturday. And he's going to be like, well, let me see what I can do. So, is a Japanese bar like that where, you know, not only do you have to be Japanese, but you have to kind of like know a guy.
It's more like, I mean, the places I'm talking about, they just want you to fit a specific profile. So like if I went dressed like this, I may not get in.
Got it.
It's like, but if I look like I just got off work, I'll probably get in.
So we need lanyards.
Yes, we need lanyards. We got to spike our hairs and wear like suits and shit.
Oh shit.
But yeah, I mean, I guess it's a little bit different than that, because these hostess bars, you go in and you pay a girl to sit with you, so they have to be there. And
well, they work there.
They work there, so it's a little bit different. But this hosting, booking thing sounds like a very expensive thing. It's like a financial relationship. You have to keep kind of investing. And
well, I mean, you know, you think about, again, I kind of say, let's compare it to the Western model of clubbing.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You go to a club, and you have, if you you don't have to get a table, but it helps, right? And what you're doing there is you're kind of like displaying how rich you are, right? You get a table, you got the bottle, you know, maybe you're behind the VIP velvety thingy,
and you're
showing like how much money I got, and you got to roll up in your nice car. You can't be rolling up in your mom's Aerostar,
right?
And you got to, which I've done many times and immediately not getting in. But that's how, that's what clubbing really is. It's about like kind of showing off so you can be like, hey, check me out.
If you say you have to go in a group of 10, right?
Or something like that. Just because the table's expensive.
Okay, so how many girls come over? Because if it's like 1-10 ratio, that sucks.
No, so he's bringing girls constantly over to you. But I mean, like that, and as a guy, you can get up and go to the dance floor. You know what I'm saying?
But so it's almost a guarantee that when you go back to your seat, there's probably a cute girl there.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to kind of facilitate that whole relationship. So, I mean, when I went poking, I was in a relationship with someone.
Yeah,
and so it's not like I was there and I was like trying to like hook up with girls.
My guy friends.
My guy friends. They would talk to some girls and like they didn't get any numbers or anything like that, but it was kind of like a fun thing. And you talk to a girl for a little bit and whatever.
Damn, do you think people like end up in relationships?
Of course.
From booking?
But just like,
Just like
when you go clubbing.
See, I like this. I think it's very interesting. I think it's great that it exists, but I could see how when you explain this just like on paper, when you explain this to somebody who white person,
yeah,
they're going to be enraged. They're going to say, this is, women are not, we're not meat. You can't just find us on a joystick and summon us.
You know what's funny is that same person would be like, people are people. And then fire up Tinder.
And just swipe left
like 100
like
fucking times.
Like a commodity, right?
Like it's the same fucking thing. This one's like more explicit. Then there's a guy. There's a third party.
Yes. His
job is to play matchmaker.
Right.
He's trying to bring girls who he thinks.
He's Tinder.
He's Tinder.
I like this a lot.
So if any listeners there have ever been booking, we want to hear about it.
Yes, let us know your experience.
Because it's a fun time.
Dude, I want that joystick. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. That was episode 37. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow us on the social media. We have a joint account at AsianNotAsianPod. That's our Instagram, and you can find us individually. You can find me, Fumi Abe, at the Fumi Abe. That's THEFUMIABE.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Thank you again to those people who came out to the Hike City show on Wednesday. That was a few days ago. That was really fun, and we hope to see you again. Our next show is November 21st, I want to say. It's the day before Thanksgiving. Are you going to be around?
I'm going to be around.
Yes, I'm not going to be around, so you have to run it without me.
Yeah, I will have to talk about that because I need some muscle.
Okay, yes, we can figure out another Asian substitute.
Nice.
I don't mind. So 21st, 8 o'clock, Black Cat LES, that's 172 Rivington. So if you have not come, please come check it out. And if you don't believe us that it's a fun time, look on our Instagram. We just posted some professional photos of people crushing.
It's a great time. It's a good show.
Yes. So come check us out, Hack City.
Thank you very much for listening. This has been another episode.
Yes.
Of Asian Not Asian. This time presented in partnership with Listening Party, part of Family FM. Check them all out at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market. Come down to Canal Street Market. We hope to be doing more stuff down here. We might have a show down here.
I mean, do you like it? Do you like it here? How'd you feel about the session?
I liked it. I liked it
a lot.
I did.
Vibe-wise, I don't think it was any different from when we do it in an apartment.
I don't think so. I wish I could take my pants off like we do normally. You know, usually you and I have our pants off. But otherwise, it's pretty cool.
Yes. We do have to keep our pants on, but it's still good. So we're probably going to be here, coming back here at least one more time during a trial period. But yeah, check out the Listening Party. Shouts to the Canal Street Market. Shouts to Canal Street Radio and Family FM. Check all that out, and we'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Bye.